So we had a US law passed in the wake of September the 11th, the Aviation and Transport Security Act 2001. Now, this includes the requirement that all airline carriers provide advance information on passengers, PNR, the so-called passenger name record. Now, this is presented as an uncontroversial demand for basic ticketing information to enable screening for known terrorists. And it probably doesn't seem that unreasonable given what happened on September the 11th. Well, in reality, the US wants 35 categories of personal data, and meal choice, home and mobile phone numbers, contact details while abroad, email addresses, credit card numbers, financial details, and so on and so on. They will use this data to create 50-year records on all entrants to the US under the auspices of the Homeland Security Department. So, got a plane ticket, get a criminal record. That's basically what's happening. The logic is that we have to compile records on people who are innocent, otherwise we're unable to confirm that they're innocent. And innocent people have nothing to hide anyway. Well, soon they won't have. In February last year, the EU began negotiating a treaty on the exchange of this data with America. And the EU actually thought it was such a good idea, they've adopted their own scheme. So PNR is developing rapidly. What does it mean? Well, what we have in practice in the EU, following the adoption of this directive, is the surveillance of all air travel into, out of, and within the EU. It is an international infrastructure for the global surveillance of movement. But of course, we're supposed to have free movement. Anyway, the EU and the US are now calling for an international agreement through the International Civil Aviation Authority, just to get the whole world doing the same thing, essentially. It's worth looking quickly at how this treaty was adopted, the EU-US one. The European Parliament has no powers over international treaties. It doesn't even get consulted. So what happened was, EU data protection commissioners were opposed to this agreement, so then the Parliament passed a resolution opposing the agreement on the 31st of March, not long ago. 3 weeks later, the Parliament voted again, this time to go to the European Court of Justice to see if this treaty was going to be legal. Now, the Member States, the governments, the Council, they know that the European Court will rule that this treaty is incompatible with EU law. So what they did, with the Parliament already having voted to reject this treaty twice, they invoked an urgency procedure and told them to vote again. Because the majority in favour of legal action was only 16. So they had a third vote in the European Parliament. This was on the 4th of May, and to their credit, MEPs rejected the deal by an even bigger majority. 2 weeks later, the Council just adopted it anyway. And now the court case falls. So we'll see what happens with the new Parliament. Okay, two more things. Biometrics. I mentioned before that biometrics fingerprints, biometrics is the subtler term, I guess, are to be included in all EU visas and residence permits. And of course, we also fingerprint asylum seekers and illegal immigrants. Well, under a European Commission proposal earlier this year, all EU passports will also contain our fingerprints. Within a few years, to obtain a passport, you will have to go to an enrolment centre and give your fingerprints. These will be held on a national database and a chip on your passport, together with a host of as-yet unspecified personal information. Of course, these fingerprints will probably be added to an EU-wide registry of travel documents as well. Now, in the UK, we only fingerprint criminals, but the EU has effectively proposed that we fingerprint the entire population of the EU, more or less. And I don't know what the press coverage has been like here, but in Britain, we've maybe had 2 inches of press coverage across the whole mainstream media. You know, proposals to fingerprint the whole EU. It astonishes me. And again, we're going to have the International Civil Aviation Authority is going to agree a globalised standard using the same biometric technology to get the whole world using the same thing. According to Privacy International, the fingerprints of more than 1 billion people will be electronically stored by 2015. Now, obviously, Global standards encourage governments to extend biometrics to national identity card systems or to introduce an ID card system where previously none existed. This is what's happening in Britain. Now, obviously, Spain has ID cards and it didn't help the people there on March the 11th. What are we talking about? A global identification system. It's presented as an anti-terrorism measure, nothing whatsoever to do with combating terrorism. The last thing, data retention. In April 2004, the UK, France, Ireland and Sweden proposed an EU framework decision that will force all telecoms service providers to retain all communications, location and traffic data for between 1 and 3 years and give access to police and other law enforcement agencies. This proposal was endorsed by the EU after the Madrid bombings, but like all the others, is in no way limited to terrorism. This one will in fact apply to the prevention, investigation, detection and prosecution of crime or criminal offences, including terrorism. Now, what we're talking about here is storing the, not the content, but the traffic data of every telecommunication between 1 and 3 years, putting in a database and making it available to the police. Now, this is a proposal so intrusive, it didn't even get into the US Patriot Act. It will place all personal communications under mandatory surveillance. Well, what's the problem? Well, in Britain, we have something called the warrant system. Now, it seems to me, the moment that you start storing all telecommunications in a database, what happens to the requirement for the police to obtain a warrant? The EU proposal provides for lawful access for police and intelligence services for crime prevention, what we would call phishing expeditions. Now, what are the police going to ask a judge or a magistrate for? A warrant covering persons unknown for criminal activities unknown? I don't think so. Data retention, this proposal, provides for completely unregulated police surveillance across the EU. Obviously, it's incompatible with Article 8, European Convention on Human Rights, the right to privacy, but governments, frankly, don't give a toss. Okay, I'm getting near the end now. Taken together, this passenger name record, the global surveillance of movement, biometrics, data retention, will create the infrastructure for a global ID system, the surveillance of all telecommunications and the surveillance of all air travel. The European Union is starting to resemble the Soviet Union, at least in terms of its attempts at social control. Add to this all the EU databases, the Schengen Information System, SIS2, Eurodac, Europol, criminal records, alien registers, population registers and the like. And the European Union is putting in place the most sophisticated law enforcement surveillance infrastructure of any state in the modern world. But no one really seems too bothered. Anyway, after Madrid, someone had the idea that if we've got all these databases, which the police find useful, why don't we just create one great, big, huge database? And that's what they're doing. Might raise a few civil liberties issues. The EU does not care. It just instructs officials to get on with it. How are we going for time?
We have 10 minutes, and then will be the end of the...
There, I had a little conclusion about democracy in Europe, but, you know, that's your part.